Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm your host, Pastor Alyssa Narvaez, and you've entered in into the Miracle Network Church on today. And we're going to enter in into the spirit of the true and living God on today. You know, we battle not with flesh and blood, but of principalities and rulers of the darkness. And God sent me by to let you know on today that, hallelujah, there is healing available for the soul that is diseased. Let's go to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift you up on today, God. We magnify your name on today, God. We lift you up, Jesus. Oh, Bashatasana, God. We invite you into the middle of the service, Heavenly Father. We invite you to take full control, Heavenly Father. We invite you, God, Jesus, to meditate on the hearts and the minds of the people on a day, God. We invite you into the middle of all of the things that we're doing, God. We bless your name, God. We know that weeping may endure for a night, God, but your joy is coming in the morning time, God. We know that you're faithful, oh, Father God. You're faithful to deliver, oh, Father God. You're faithful to deliver, oh, Father God, that which you promised. And so we magnify you on today, God. I ask that you hide this ministering woman behind your cross. Oh, Bashatasana, God. Hide me behind the wings of the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, move by your spirit on today, God. Oh, move by your glory on today, God. Oh, move, Jesus, how we lift you up, God. We bless your name, Jesus. We're going to go for a little ride, sisters and brothers out there. We're going to go for a ride in Galatians, the 6th chapter. And God is coming to us on today from the 9th verse. Galatians 6 and 9 is where we're going. Oh, hallelujah, God, Jesus. Oh, those foolish Galatians who have betwitched you that you should believe things as such a lie. The psalmist said, and the writer said, do not be betwitched. Betwitched means to be bamboozled, hoodwinked and hoodstruck by the lies of the deception of the enemy. Before we served the enemy, but now we serve the true and living God. Galatians 6 and 9 goes to say, and let us not be weary in well-doing. God said, tell somebody to say well-doing. Oh, hallelujah. He said, say it again, well-doing. God said, do you know how many people out there are doing well-doing on today? Do you know how many people out there are still yet carrying the cross of Jesus Christ? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. God said, tell somebody to say due season. You know, season is a time in which we experience different manifestations of Christ, but we're all headed towards the same vision. You know, you're headed towards the vision that one day Christ will come and quicken your very mortal body. The same spirit that quickened Christ is the same spirit that will come and quicken you, and Christ will come for you. He's going to come for a bride without spot or blemish. Oh, go ahead, Holy Spirit, and minister to us on today. For in due season we shall reap if we faint it not. And I want to pose a question to you on today. And my question is, do you think that Christ must have fainted? Do you think that Christ ever got weary in all of his well-doings, in all of the seasons that God had him go through? Do you ever think that Christ got weary? Do you ever think that Christ got to the point where he was almost ready to faint and give up the towel and throw in the towel and say, I'm done with all of this? This is just too much for me to bear. If I could use the example of the life of Jesus Christ on today, you know, Jesus Christ Christ had some seasons in his ministry. He had some seasons of ups, and he had some seasons, oh, Bashata, Son of God, of challenges. You know, the Pharisee and the Sadducee, they fought Christ on every hand. And do you have something in somebody that seems to fight you on every hand? Every time you go to the bank account, it seems as though the funds have been depleted. Do you have a time in your life where you're just making ends meet? Oh, there's room for the cross for you on a day. You know, Jesus had seasons in his ministry. There came a time when Jesus got ready to do all of his well-doing. Yes, the scripture says well-doing, and Jesus got to a point in his ministry where he had some well-doing. Oh, come on and help me, Holy Ghost. The Bible said that John the Baptist said, but him that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which is baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, what are you saying on a day, woman of God? I've come to by to let you know on a day that God had some seasons in his ministry, and one is that of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For it was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that gave him the power that he needed to tread on serpents. And the Holy Spirit is the power that you need to bamboozle the enemy. The Holy Spirit is the power that you need to endure all your afflictions, to endure all of your trials and tribulations. I said you can't make it without the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost on your side. Oh, yes, Jesus was a man that never got weary. Oh, my God, Jesus. And he had a season that he was ready to reap. See, what you got to understand on today, that everything that you're going through in life is all about the reap. It's all about gain and reward. Yes, Jesus was a man that saw it early in life. For he told his mother Mary, you know that I came to be about my Father's business. And you ought to tell that thing you're faced with. You know that I came to be about my Father's business. Because God set up for me some mansions that are found in heaven. If I can preach it to you on a day, this gave God's Son the authorization. I said it authorized him to perform miracles in the earth. Somebody say a well-doing. Oh, well-doing. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Is there anybody out there that's on the edge of fading? Oh, my God, Jesus, but don't be weary in your well-doing. Why? Because in due season you shall reap if you fail not. Why is that? Because there's greater in you than there are with them. There's something on the inside of you that's a moving and a shaking. It's making the way for you. It's turning things around. It's making things topsy-turvy. Oh, Romans 8 and 28. Oh, Vashata, Son of God. Oh, God is nigh unto them that love him for things that work together. You know, they work together for the good of them that love him. Oh, you don't have to worry about it because God is working it out. He's working it out in your favor, and it's going to be all right. I said it's going to be all right, just like Jesus had to go through the multitude, going through the land, healing and setting folk free. He never got weary. He never got weary in all of his well-doing, for he knew a due was coming around. I said he knew a due season is coming around. And you ought to know that your due season is coming around also. So go ahead and work for God. Go ahead and sing for God. Go ahead and preach for God. I'm not in your well-doing. In a well-doing, you will not faint. You got to stay in there. Don't throw in the towel. You got to keep your feet anchored. Anchored in the cross. It was in the well-doing of Jesus Christ that we've come to this point. Healing in the body. You know he was wounded. And he was bruised for your transgressions. The chastisement of his peace. Of your peace was up on him. And by his stripes. I said by his stripes. Come on, somebody. If you know you got the stripes of Christ, laid up on the cross for your healing, you ought to just praise God where you are. If you know you got the stripes of Christ, laid up for your deliverance, you ought to just praise God where you're at. You know Christ had to pay a price for all those stripes he took on the cross for you. But he had some well-doing. Somebody ought to say well-doing to get me there. Well-doing to get me there. Well-doing will get me there. Oh, hallelujah, God. You ought to magnify God. Go ahead and glorify him. For there's some well-doing in the atmosphere. Oh, yes, there are some of us out there. God is showing that we've still got some more well-doing today. To do on a day. There are some of us out there that God is saying on a day. You still got some well-doing to do. Bashata, son of God. And the Bible said, Jesus in all his well-doing, he never got weary. He never gave up, and he never threw in the towel. There was some due season for him. One of his climax of the story about it all is that God gave him the power to heal and deliver. God gave him the power to cleanse the leper in Galilee. And the Bible said, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying in his mouth, if Lord thou do it, you can make me clean. See, the first thing you've got to understand is that you've got to believe in God. You got to believe in Jesus Christ, that he's able to do it, that he's able to turn it around. He's able to make you clean. He's able to pull you out of the miry clay. He's able to pull you out of murky waters. He's able to do it. The leper that came to Christ, he said, if thou will, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, hallelujah, God. And then there was a paralytic, one with the palsy of Capernaum. And the Bible said, God said to him, arise thee, and take up thy bed, and go thy way in thy house. The second thing you got to understand is God is able to command. He commands the seas to be at peace. And God is able to command all those things you're working through, all those things you're working out. Somebody call them trials and tribulations. Christ is able to work it out. Christ is able to command the storm and say, peace be still. And the Bible said, and immediately the man with a paralytic palsy located down in Capernaum, he immediately arose and took up his bed. And the Bible said, in Jesus' well-doing, we can't forget about the man with the withered hand in Galilee. And the Bible said, then he said to the man, understand. What you gotta understand. Is we gotta pause right there. Somebody say pause for the cause. Because Christ said. And then he said to the man. The next thing you gotta understand is God is always speaking. He said, harden not your heart. In the day in which you hear me calling, my sheep know my voice. Don't be bamboozled with the tricks of the enemy. Oh, come on, somebody. We all know the voice of God. That stillness inside of us, down in the center. And then he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth. And another revelation is the man did what God said to do. See what you got to understand. When they were at the wedding and the people ran out of wine, the first thing Mary, the mother, said, if Jesus tell you to do it, that is what you should do. Come on, somebody. We're talking about failing not. In due season, we're talking about failing not. We shall reap if we faint not. We're talking about not fainting, not giving up, and not throwing in the towel. Oh, come on, somebody, and lift up Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, who the joy was set before. He endured the cross, the cross of shame, the cross of affliction. Come on, somebody, and let us not forget about the woman with the issue of blood. I'm talking about the well-doing of Jesus Christ. Yes, he had some well-doing, but he did not get weary, for he knew that there was a due season that he would reap if he fainted not. So the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible said, during his first preaching tour through the city of Galilee, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 long years. Come on, somebody. You know what it's like. Some of us have been waddling in a pigsty for over 12 years. And Paul said he desired that the thorn be removed from his side. But God said it is not so. For my grace is made sufficient for thee. Yes, there it is. Grace will give you the ability to endure for a night. Grace will give you ability to not faint. Somebody ought to tap into grace on today. That's G-R-A-C-E. That's the grace to make it in a weary land. That's the grace to make it in times of trouble, when calamity, when disease is all around you. Grace is what you need to make it a little bit further. And Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling. Somebody need grace on today. God will deliver grace. God rain out grace through the phone line, through the internet, through the radio. Rain out grace. Your grace will make it sufficient for thee, perfect in your weakness. The woman with the issue of blood, in Christ's well-doing, he made her well. Somebody is working on some things for God. Somebody is doing things for God, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if you faint not. The Bible said, what we do for God is the only thing that will last. In the end time, everything that you've done, in body and out of body, all your works will be thrown in the fire. And who can stand the test of the fire? It's the word that is nigh unto us. You can make it on today. Don't give up now. You're almost there. You know when the runner runs the race and he gets in his last lap. No, come on and help me, Holy Ghost. There's something he's got to depend on, and it's called a second wind. For the Bible said that the Spirit of God is like a wind. It blows where it want to go. It blows where it want to blow. And it landeth where he may. Come on and help us, Holy Ghost. Some of us are on the last lap. Some of us are running the race. And we're on the last lap. We need a wind. Lift your hands to God and get prepared for your second wind. I said lift your hands onto him. Lift up those holy hands. Paul said with all believing, all knowing, all conviction, with your heart and your mind circled all around. Hope. Oh, yes, that's the next thing. God is showing. First you got grace. Then comes hope. And these three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. Oh, don't give up hope. For hope is a substance of things that you pray for. And the evidence is of what you get. Oh, that's a little bit of faith. For faith is a substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. What you got to understand is you got to have hope in order to tap into faith. All hope leads to faith. You've got to hope and expect it in that Christ is going to come. Somebody ought to look at themselves and look at yourself in the mirror and say, you can make it. Oh, they sang that song in the movie The Wiz, that musical. You can make it. That's what Michael Jackson said. That's what Diana Ross said. Oh, that's what they said, is that you can make it. And if the world say you can make it, what do the things of God say? The things of God say, you're more than a conqueror with him that is with you. You're more than a conqueror. That's him that's in you. You're more than a conqueror. That him that fights for you. You're more than a conqueror. If Christ be for you, who can be against you? Somebody ought to say, I can make it. You can make it through the storm, through the trial of life, through the test of times. Oh, how you can make it. And let's not forget about the two blind men in Capernaum. The Bible said, and Jesus is well doing. There were two blind men. And the Bible said, the blind men came to him. And they said, oh, help us, Jesus. And he said, believe ye that I'm able to do this. I don't want to pause right there. God said in this scripture, do you believe that I am able to do this? And this is what God is asking us of today. Do you believe that God is able to do it? If somebody said he can do all things in Christ that strengthens him, the Bible said with men nothing is possible, but with Christ all things are possible. Have you thought about what God did for you the last time? Down through the years, have you thought about how God saved you? Have you thought about how he made a way? Have you thought about how he turned it around? Have you thought about how he had a ram in the bush? Have you thought about a plan B? You know, Christ always got a plan B. If somebody don't want to conform, conform to helping you see through your prophetic. Oh, come on, somebody. What is God saying on today? God is saying on today that everybody has a prophetic bubble, a B-U-B-B-L-E, and everybody has a prophetic destiny. Everybody has something that has been set out for them, because he said in the word, before the world was formed, I knew you. I ordained you. Everybody has a prophetic ordination. Oh, help us, God, on today. Take complete control, God. Send out your word, God. Everybody has something that they haven't expected in, and it's called destiny. Oh, Bashata, son of God. And inside of that destiny, oh, Bisharahana, God. God said in his word, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I'm able to deliver you to your prophetic destiny? See, the two blind men at Capernaum, their destiny was to eventually see. And God said to them, do you believe that I am able to make you see? Do you believe that I am able to go against the grain? brain. Do you believe that I am able to make the things happen that man think is impossible? Do you believe that I'm able to walk in a miracle to make you see? And God is saying on today, do you believe that I'm able to deliver your prophetic destiny? See, we've all got something that we got to get to, and it's on the other side of the cross, but we got to go through the cross. The cross carries us, and we carry the cross, and on the other side of the cross is your prophetic destiny. Oh, speak, Holy Ghost. And God said to ask you, that you do you believe that I am able to do this unto you? The Bible said, oh, Bashata, Son of God, and the blind men came to him, and Jesus asked him, do you believe that I'm able? I got about 5 minutes left. We're going to work this thing out. We're going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And the Bible said, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightway sent them. Oh, and then there was a man blind who was outside the temple at Jerusalem. Oh, yes, this is a man that was outside the temple. Oh, Bashata, Son of God. And Jesus told the man, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. See, some of us are trying to see, but we're seeing through the wrong eyes. And this blinded man outside of the temple, the one that Jesus spit and rubbed his eyes and sent him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Some of us are trying to see out of the wrong eyes. And God said in John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. See, if you want to see on today, and you've got blinded eyes, and you want to know that we will not be weary in well-doing, if you want to see your due season, and you'll reap it, if you faint not, you got to see through another set of eyes. You got to see through the Spirit, and the Spirit says that you will make it. The Spirit says that you have a comforter. The Spirit says that Jesus has not left you nor forsaken you. The Spirit says he is more than a conqueror. The Spirit says he is your comforter. Somebody needs comforting on today. And then we can't forget about the 10 lepers. Oh, come on, somebody. You know what it's like to be diseased in your soul. You know what it's like to have. I said, you know what it's like to go through the leper. Oh, the leper was a man or a woman that was segregated from the camp. The leper was a man or a woman that was blotted out. Have you ever felt forsaken? Forsaken by the ones that should have loved you. Have you ever felt forsaken? Forsaken by the ones that should have been there. Have you ever felt forsaken and rejected by the ones that should have embraced you the most? Oh, yes, the lepers. They were outcasts. Dead man walking. When they walked by, they said dead man walking. When they walked by, everything stood still. Everybody turned their back to protect themselves. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody saved them, but they didn't save you? Have you ever been in a situation where somebody has turned you in into a false testimony? They testified against you. Oh, come on and help me, God. Oh, come on and help me, Jesus. Yes, the 10 lepers, they were outcast. Have you ever been outcasted, outdosed, out-society? Have you ever been thrown away as a sheep for a slaughter? And the Bible said, he mumbled not a word. Have you ever said, I'm getting my second wind? Have you ever said that they gave up on me? Have you ever said the ones that should have loved me, they gave up on me? Oh, come on, somebody. You know where the 10 lepers are coming from. You know that. See, the thing about the leper, it was more than a disease. Oh, Bashata, Son of God. It was a spiritual rejection. Oh, Bisharasana. The ones that God loved the most were the children of Israel and the ones that God loved the most, they were rejected from the ones that got the most attention, the ones that got the most favor. They were rejected. If anybody had a spiritual leprosy, they were thrown outside of the camp, and they were not allowed in the camp. Oh, come on and help us, God. Oh, the rejected, the under man, oh, my God, the underdog, the one that's down and out. You know what I'm talking about, the black sheep of the pity party. But God found favor in the sight of the lepers, and he healed everyone. And there was one leper that went back and said, I'm going to give glory to God. Oh, there he is. The next thing you got to do is give God the glory. When you're going through your trial, when you're going through your test, when you're going through your temptation, when you're going through your affliction, in order to be not weary, is that you got to give God the praise. Oh, hallelujah, God. You ought to give God the praise. And the 10 lepers, they came back and they gave God the praise. And the Bible said that Jesus had so much well-doing that there is not a world nor books in that world that could contain all that Jesus did, all of his challenges, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But he fainted not. Trouble on every side. You know, he came to conquer death, hell, and the grave. And I'm going to wrap up now. Oh, hallelujah, God. But God sent me by to let you know that he went through the tribulations and the trials that he had to go through because there was a promise on the other side. He reaped the promise that we can have eternal life with him. And that thing is called salvation on the cross. The Bible says in 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that hath promised us, even eternal life. This is a time that we accept Christ as our Savior, knowing that we can be weary, but we don't have to throw in the towel and we don't have to faint. You know, this is why Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave, so that you can have an expected end. There is a prophetic, hallelujah, God, destiny on the other side of the cross, but you got to get to the cross. And the cross is the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the cross of salvation. Let's go to salvation together. Repeat this prayer with me. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and you're tired, you've grown weary, you've thrown in the towel, you've given up, God will redeem you back. The Bible says, let the redeem of the Lord say so. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift you up even right now. We magnify you even right now, God. We glorify you even right now, God. We thank you for your glory, God. God said that there are others out there, that there are people out there right now that are giving their life to him. And the Bible says that 99 of the angels rejoice. Hallelujah, God, when we give our lives to Christ. So as we continue with the prayer, we ask that you would be our Savior. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We believe in what you did on the cross. We believe that you died for the sins of the world. And we believe that you died for our sins. And so we accept you as our Savior. We believe in you. We believe that you sit on the right-hand side of God, making intercession for us. You know, if you said this, and you said this in your heart, hallelujah, God is with you. You are saved. The Bible said, what must a man do to be saved? And all he has to do is call on the name of Jesus. Turn from the life that you once knew and turn towards God. You know, I do encourage you to be baptized. Hallelujah, Jesus. This confirms, hallelujah, God, the marriage of your salvation. This confirms your salvation. God said to go out and find all of those who are willing to be baptized, who are willing to repent. Amen. And this is what it was all about. And Jesus' well-doing, amen, he did so many things that we could never even comprehend all that he did. But the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, which was our scripture, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And Christ was the leading example of that. He had a lot of work to do. He had a lot of well-doing. He did well for the Father. And he didn't become weary because there were seasons that took him higher and higher and higher. And the ultimate season was that he conquered death, hell, and grave on the cross. There was something that he reaped. Amen. And this is why he was not able to faint, because he had the Holy Spirit that gave him the grace to make it. You know, Christ was just the man that he came when he came. But there came a point in time when he received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what gave him the power to have his well-doing. You know, the Holy Spirit is what you have to give you the power for your well-doing. We're all working towards something. You're working towards what you're working towards. I'm even working towards something. And we need the Holy Spirit to pave the way for us. And Christ is there. Listen, I've been your host, Pastor Alyssa Narvez. This has been the Miracle Network Church. And always know that you do not have to be weary in your well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. May the grace of God be with you. God bless you, and I'll see you the next time.